Can you hear me now? A little bit better? Good enough? I'm talking probably the softest that I'll be talking this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for your willingness to allow us to understand it. And we thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit and teachers. And we just come this morning asking that you would open it up to us that we might obey. We might understand your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might become more like him. And we just thank you so much for the privilege of approaching your word and understanding who you are, that we might live a life that's set apart, holy, and that is used by you to bring eternal benefit to the world, Heavenly Father. Just the privilege of sharing your gospel with others, the privilege of living this life before the world. And thank you so much for your Son and for giving him to us, that we might even be able to have the mind of Christ. And just give us humility this morning as we approach your word, and a willingness to hear, that we would not be only hearers, but that we'd be doers of the word. And we thank you in advance for opening up the scriptures to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Good morning. Grace and peace be unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of you probably know me. My name is Troy McIntosh. I'm going to be teaching this morning. And if you could think with me a little bit before we open up. Well, based what I'm going to say is based on the scriptures. But if you could think with me a little bit about the nature of praise, the nature of worship, and I want you to think about a few aspects that will give you a better understanding of the text that we're going to be looking at today. But if you could think a little bit about worship being a representation of what you value. So, we came here today to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We spent time singing. We raised our hands. We spoke greatly of the Lord Jesus. And it's a demonstration, right, of the worth that we ascribe to him. That's what we're doing when we worship. We're saying we think you're worthy, and we want to demonstrate it. We do it by giving our money. We do it by being attentive to you. It's an ascribing of value. And we do it this morning when we came together. We come together collectively. It's good that we do it together. And it's commanded that we do it together. So we come together, we do it together, we're led in worship. We get the words, we're sort of brought along, hear the words, we sing. Some of it is coming, you know, like thoughts go through our mind, but we're ascribing worth, right, to the Lord. We're saying, we recognize who you are, and we really like who you are. We honor you, we glorify you, and we just want to demonstrate in several ways that you're worthy of glory and you're worthy of honor. And but whatever the object is, okay, we gather to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the object of worship is demonstrative of the glory or the honor that you put toward it, right? So, we're believers now, but look, the Lord is cleaning us of things we worship that we ought not worship, right? Person goes to a football game, they're like, yeah, like they, you know, they're loving that. They're ascribing, right, some honor. They're saying, this is great. I love this. You know, sometimes we, you know, clothes, money, right? Whatever it is that we, so as we're becoming worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are constantly learning We're constantly learning how to rethink what we actually worship. And it's good to come together to worship collectively, but you know what? Sometimes, based on the heart, our corporate worship could be just based on tradition. It could just be like, I come here every week, and I do this, and I could be like on autopilot, right? Where I'm just automatically, like, this is what we do every week, we sing, and there is the words, and I sing the words, I see the words, and yes, I do believe this, but I could be on an automatic thing, because that's what I do when I gather here. That's why, in my opinion, when you see examples of in the scripture of what I'm going to term here, spontaneous worship, where you see a reaction to something about God and it evokes worship from God. That's why you should take a look at that. You should take a closer look at this, because it's giving you some clarity. And the passage we're going to look at today is we're going to look at an example of this type of spontaneous worship from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just think it's the type of thing when we look at in the scripture that we should elevate in the sense that this is the wipe the dust from your feet passage. So they come back. They've been given this power. And in verse 17 he says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Behold, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples privately and said, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you've heard and have not heard it." Okay. So, one of the first things we're going to talk about is Jesus rejoicing that the kingdom is not revealed by wisdom or intelligence. Not revealed by wisdom or intelligence. And let's look at a couple of other passages that are linked here. Let's look at Isaiah 29. Talking about what Jesus is rejoicing over, what Jesus praises the Father over. Isaiah 29. First passage that we'll look at. And we're going to look at verse 14. Actually, let's just read it from verse 9. Isaiah 29:9. "Pause and wonder. Blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep. And has closed your eyes, namely the prophets. And he has covered your heads, namely the seers. The whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is illiterate, saying, 'Read this, please.' And he says, 'I cannot, for it's sealed.' Then the book is delivered to one who is illiterate, saying, 'Read this, please.' And he says, 'I am not literate.' Therefore the Lord said, 'Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent shall be hidden." So, in this text, we're saying that at the giving of the prophecy, we're saying that Yahweh is blinding the eyes of people. As if you would give the book to a person that could read, that's shut. They can't actually open the book, and you ask them to read it. Go ahead, read this book that you can't open. As if you gave an open book to somebody who cannot read, and you know they cannot read. And you give them this book, and you say, "Go ahead, could you read this book?" You understand that I cannot read. And he's saying, that's what it's going to be like. These things will be open, and you see it. You see this in the Luke passage. Here's the kingdom of God. It's plainly being preached before you. And you see, they can't understand it. Now, it's not just that they won't. It's that he's blinding them so that they can't. So in the Isaiah passage, They are, I like this phrase where he says, they are drunk in verse 9, but not with wine. They stagger. For the Lord has poured out on you a spirit of deep sleep. It's like the Lord is looking at this. He's looking at these people. They're always talking about God. Their mouths are always talking about the Lord. They have a lot to say about how much they love the Lord. They have a lot to say about demonstrating it in front of people. But the Lord sees their hearts. Their hearts are not open to the Lord. Their hearts are all about themselves. And he says here that they've removed their hearts far from me. And I'm going to do this work. And he calls it in this version here, he calls it a marvelous work. Where this marvelous work, this beautiful work, is that the wise, their wise rather, they're not going to be able to understand. They're going to be looking dead at it, And they're going to have an inability to understand these things of the kingdom. And he calls it a marvelous work. Don't we live in a time when we think that the commandments of man can lead to some sort of truth? Don't we think that we can get to, even in the church, there's so much, pop psychology wisdom. There's so much of a belief that I can come to truth in my own way. I can get there in my own way. I can figure this out. I can do this by my own type of wisdom. And that's an offense to the Lord. He hates this. He hates when we exalt human wisdom. And the thing that's so difficult about it is that it usually sounds like godly wisdom. Like it's very often like filled with spiritual language. And so you're seeing an example though in this passage where he's saying, look, this is not something that is attained by your own individual wisdom. It's not attained through intelligence. It's not attained by any sort of teaching of man. But the truth that is the Lord Jesus Christ, it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. The understanding is given by Him. Now, what I want you to think about though with this, so many of you already are thinking this, but this is spontaneous worship. He's praising God because of this. He's glorifying. This is just not something that we normally see people like, we're worshiping you. You're great. You're beautiful. You're model. This is worship. This is not by wisdom. This is not by intelligence. This is worshiping the Lord Jesus. This is worshiping Him. Lifting Him up on high. Glorifying. This is spontaneous. Like, Jesus Christ is excited. He's like, can I say He's happy about this? Can I say He's pumped up about this truth? This is not something. You see people, thank you, Jesus, that you are, that this is the way that you are, that you are focused. You're not focused on the wisdom of man. This is not how you operate. This is what evokes worship in the mind of Christ. Things like this. The thing that I like about Jesus' worship, you understand that, and everything that we're going to be talking about, is that Jesus is always embracing all of God. Make sense? He's always fully embracing everything God is. I was saying to my wife yesterday, I said, this menu must be like, did she talk about at the wedding yesterday? Was this menu like, is this my menu? Because every piece of food here, like, I like corn. I like, this is all the food that I enjoy, right? And it's like, sometimes don't we kind of think about the Lord, like, I focus on this component of you because I know this component really well. I understand this in the scriptures. I believe this wholeheartedly, but man, you come to me with this other teaching and I have a hard time with this. And I won't focus on that aspect of you. I will distance myself. I will say, I won't bring this thing up when I'm talking to the unbeliever who's, why do you believe, I'll act like I don't know this part of God. You see Jesus embracing everything that God is all the time. And He's not just like, He's not reluctantly supporting this. Right? He's not reluctantly saying, well, yeah, this is the way the Lord operates. He's fully embracing it, He's rejoicing over it, and He's publicly praising the Father because of this particular fact that it's just one of the things, but that it's not by wisdom, it's not by intelligence. Let's look at a couple other passages that are kind of linked to this. John 5. John 5:39. You search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but these testify of me. There's no way, right? There's no way just with the Bible, even just with the Hebrew scriptures, what they're talking about in this point, but I think it's applicable. The scriptures, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, don't result in kingdom wisdom. Don't result in acknowledgement of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't result in you coming to the conclusion that He's the Christ. And so there are people right in these cities that they're, it's not that they're not familiar with the scriptures. Isn't that they're not aware? It's that they've attempted to approach the Lord as if it's a matter of human exercise, human wisdom. And it doesn't operate like that. And the Lord Jesus loves that it doesn't operate like that. He rejoices that it's not like that. That it's not based on wisdom, that it's not based on your own strength, it's not based on your own power, it's not being, like a science. How is it that people that are brilliant in brilliant intelligence, right? The prudent scientists. Guy knows a lot about, maybe the guy's an astronaut. How is it that this guy, the Lord loves that this person, honored by men, clearly intelligent, high intellectual capacity, this guy sees the kingdom and he's like, I don't understand at all how Jesus is the Christ. I don't see how he's the king. In this particular passage, the disciples are doing miracles. It's like every reason in the world to believe, I don't believe. This person over here, person just doesn't seem that bright. This person immediately understands. And the Lord loves the fact that that's the way He's revealed. He loves that that's His way. Okay? We're going to look at a couple more here. So that's the first thing. So He loves that it's not by wisdom, it's not by intelligence. He also loves, He rejoices that it's hidden. Okay? That the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, this kingdom truth, is hidden. He rejoices that it's hidden. Let's go back to the passage. The Luke 10 passage. He's worshiping God over the fact that it is hidden. 10:21. In that hour Jesus rejoiced, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things. So when you see hidden, right, what's coming to mind? It's coming to mind for me. It's coming to mind his active spiritual blindness. The fact that he's purposely doing this. Okay, it's not just like they don't understand it. It's not just like it's confusing. Because by the way, gospel is not, this coming of the kingdom is not, it's not difficult to understand. It's not like some really complex doctrine that he's talking about. The kingdom of God is at hand. This is the king right here. He's the Messiah. This is your Messiah. I'm going to demonstrate this through these works of miracles. It's not hard to understand, but it's not understood, and it's not understood because it's actually being hidden. Now, am I going too far by saying he's rejoicing in this man's ineptitude to understand it? Like he's rejoicing that the one that speaks at this through wisdom, that he can't do it. And he's happy about this. He's happy. He's worshiping God because this one over here is unable in his own, he can't conjure up this sort of thing. He can't rest on his own commandments. Let's look at, there's a lot of things we can look at, but let's look at Romans 9. Let's look at Romans 9. A lot of passages where you see this principle about the Lord raised up, but One of them is Romans 9:15. Pharaoh, right? So we're talking about, he talks about Jacob and Esau. Before they've even done anything, Esau is already called hated. Verse 9:15. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on him whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. So he's raising up, right? He's raising up. When you look at the actual passage, you see like Pharaoh soft, you see him back and forth, you know, between the soft and the hardening. So, but the Lord is saying, right? He's saying, this is my purpose. This is, and this guy, Pharaoh, by the way, he's put in the category of that guy that would think of himself as wise, I can do this. I'm going to raise this guy up so that I can harden him, so that he won't see it, and it will be obvious that I'm showing mercy over here on Israel, and that this guy over here is this guy can't understand it, and it's a purposeful, right? It's a purposeful blindedness. It's a purposeful hardening that is being wrought on Pharaoh. And once again, so Jesus is seeing this hardening, this blindness, and he's glorying in it. He's rejoicing in it. Let's look at one other passage that kind of gives you a little more clarity around Christ's way. Let's look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13:10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For whomever it has been given, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them prophecy... In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand their hearts. So you see Jesus here, he's purposely picking a mode of communication that facilitates their inability to understand. He's rejoicing. He's purposely saying, he's multitude, right? Parable. We don't understand. And then he's with the disciples often. Let me explain what this means. Multitude, parable. That we don't understand. And he's over here with these people that he's right there. You see election. You see right there. You see him choosing to be more clearly revealed to some than to others. And it's we're going to get a little bit later to what this is, to some conclusion this is pointing us to, but I just want you to see here that this is intentional. This is not only in election, this is in his style. The way he goes about teaching, he's teaching in such a way that it will facilitate, almost like the facilitate the continued lack of understanding here. Because they're not going to understand. He knows they're not going to understand this particular mode, and there are particular things he's going to reveal only to these people, certain things he's going to reveal to these people, certain things he's going to reveal to these people, and everybody's not going to get it at this point. But it's purposeful, even to the point where he's changing the way, he's fulfilling scripture by the way he does this, and it's all on purpose. And as he sees them come back, right, in Luke 10, he sees them come back, recognizing that some of these people rejected, he's happy about this. he's glorifying the Lord because of this particular state. So he's rejoicing that it's not by wisdom and intelligence. He's rejoicing that it's not revealed to everybody, that it's hidden. And he's rejoicing that it's revealed to babes. Okay? He's rejoicing, lastly, that it's revealed, not lastly, but he's rejoicing that it's revealed to babes. So, back to Luke 10. And this is where it gets, you know, it's hidden from the wise, but it's revealed to the babes. This is his way. There's so many passages about this. Let's look early in the book of Luke at Luke 1. Luke 1, 41. Right? So, Mary and Elizabeth have come together. Elizabeth has gotten pregnant in her older age. And she's getting together with Mary. And Luke 1:41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." So you have here, you have the actual interaction of, I know we might greet each other and say grace and peace. Elizabeth might greet Mary and say, "You know, how you doing, Mary?" And she might say, I'm blessed and highly favored." She could actually say, "I'm blessed and highly favored." It's a little joke there. But she could say, "I'm blessed and highly favored," because she really is blessed and highly favored. So they see each other, "How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored." They're both pregnant. Hey, baby hears the voice. This is fetal worship, right? This is like the baby jumps out at hearing the mother of the Messiah, and then you see Elizabeth saying that the mother of verse 43, the mother of Kyrios, right? It's the mother of my Lord. It's like the mother of the baby. You've got Kyrios in your womb, and the baby, right? So you have an example here of the baby in Elizabeth recognizing the Messiah in Mary, and it's a fetus. It's the Lord's way to have this full grown man who thinks he's wise to not understand. And to have a fetus. I mean, this is a baby that can't be. But this baby, oh, trying to reach out. You know, maybe who knows what John. Maybe he was, you know, saying hallelujah. Who knows what actually happened in the womb? But you see the baby attempting to worship the Lord from the fetus. This is the Lord's way. This is a spiritual thing. It's spiritually discerned. This is not the way that comes by wisdom. It doesn't come by intelligence. This person couldn't figure it out on their own because they're spiritually blind. But the baby, and this is the Lord's way. This is how, and we're going to talk about this more, but this is how the Lord increases glory. The Lord, by showing mercy on this baby, it's like, you're looking back on this and you're left with what? You're left with, this is the Lord. this person didn't figure it out. You're left with no answer, right? But the Lord has wrought this. He gets more glory because, yeah, this is a small baby. I love these baby passages like this. Let's look at Matthew 21. Baby. Revealed to these babies. Matthew 21. This passage is Matthew 21 passage is pretty cool here. Matthew 21:16 here, around we're gonna look at. We'll look a little bit at passages around there, but from Matthew 21, the context is Jesus is coming into the city, and there are many that are saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. There are many that are acknowledging him, and he comes into the temple, he cleans that place out, gets to snapping, clears it out, calls them thieves. This is meant to be a place of prayer. Then he begins healing, okay? Heals the blind, heals the lame. But when the chief priests, now this is getting back to the wise, right? Now you got these wise people, right? These are the wise and prudent types. They're wise, okay? This is the quotes for this, okay? They're wise and prudent. They're thinking of themselves like they're wise and prudent. But the chief, in verse 15, Matthew 21:15, but the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, and they were indignant. Said to him, do you hear what these are saying? This is a beautiful picture. Okay, so they're in the temple. Jesus has just cleared it out. He's done several things. He's come into the city. He's cleaned it. Now he's healing people. They're looking at this. They're supposed to go, this is the Messiah. They're supposed to say, wow, we recognize prophecy. But why can't they see it? Because their eyes are blinded. They can't see it. So they're sitting there looking at it. He's healing people. He's doing all these glorious things where by the Lord is glorified. He's demonstrating he's the promised Messiah. And the scribes are getting mad. Here's what I liken this to. Do you know how I don't have any kids, but you're around kids. You know how you're with a kid and the kid starts saying something and the parent is embarrassed because the kid is saying something truthful, but it's embarrassing the parent because the parent's old enough to realize you just don't say that kind of thing directly, you know? And the kid is like, why is that man dressed like a woman? You know, he's saying something like, well, what's going on over here? How come that he's saying, you're like, could you like, you know, the kid is saying something truthful, but it's like the kid can say it because he's a kid. And nobody really wants to, you know, it's like it's uncomfortable to people. Like, man, this is a kid. He's saying something. We all agree with what he's saying, but we wouldn't say this. But he's saying this, and nobody really wants to break out and correct him because he's just a kid, you know. So he's able to kind of sneak. The kid can sneak under the radar, you know, so to speak, and say something directly. And it's like it's true, but people just don't say that. That's kind of what I imagine is happening here. It's like, you got scribes, you got people that know the scriptures. So you have like, little babies, you know. I'm imagining like, you know, babies that are nursing going, like, you know, like this scripture says, like I don't hear this preached a lot, but this is just my opinion, but I think this is babies, nursing infants. I think this is fulfilling this scripture, and it's babies that can't talk. Okay, so on the one hand, you have scribes, you have people that are experts in the law, right? They're over here. They don't think he's the Messiah. Then you have these little babies, and it's like these guys are getting mad. These guys are getting more angry because not only are the people going, but they're little kids. It's like I'm really angry because this kid is speaking this about him. Then they go to Jesus. Do you hear this? Do you hear what they're saying? He's just, I like Jesus' answer. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hear him just saying plainly, yes. Yeah. And You know, so then he goes on, yes, have you never read? I mean, imagine the irony here, right? Imagine the irony of the baby fulfilling the scripture, recognizing the Messiah. The baby can't speak or read, and Jesus asking the wise, haven't you read? He's asking the scribes and the Pharisees that. He knows they've read it. I mean, but the indictment is there. It's like you see this, it's making you more mad, isn't it? This is making you more mad, and this is making God more happy. You being frustrated over here, you being angry because of this proclamation of my Messiahship, oh, this is glorious to the Lord. The Lord sees this, and He uses the baby to shut your mouth. And it's the irony where the Lord's glory is just brought even higher. It's like He's revealed these things to the unlearned, the unread, the unable to speak, and He's hidden these things. And this to the Lord, this is glorious. This is beautiful, because this is demonstrative of His way of doing things. This shows you what He's like. This shows you His heart. Okay? The gospel is preached to the poor. It's like you've got these Pharisees, man. They're kowtowing to people that have money. You see the same thing nowadays. You see people that are focused on preaching style, that are catering their messages, that are trying to attract a certain social status. And the Lord is like, I can't stand it. But then you see the true gospel is being revealed to the poor. Like, these people are normally left out. They're on the outside looking in. Well, they're happy that Jesus has come. And He loves the fact that He demonstrates Himself in this way. Let's look at one more passage that's kind of connected to this. Another kind of fun passage. Let's look at Numbers 22. All right, familiar passage here. Balaam. Numbers 22, another Old Testament example of this type of thinking about the Lord glories in this. The Lord loves this. It's His way, and He demonstrates Himself here. So, Numbers 22, let's look at, there's a lot of things leading up to this. Let's look at verse 22. Okay, so, you know, Balaam is going back and forth, you know, should I, you know. And the Lord just says, go, you know, just go do this, you know. It's like, this is what you want to do, man. Like, you know, you've been talking to these guys. By the way, this is not good. It's not good to begin debating about something that the Lord has made clear. You know, it's like, He knows, Balaam knows he shouldn't be doing this. But he's like having this ongoing talk, though, like, well, I will talk to you again. You know, it's like, It smacks of like, if the price is right. You know, I can't do this. But I'll listen to you talk about it again. You know, it's like, you know, so that's another story. But, so there, he's going back and forth, with the Lord. And then, so the Lord says, go ahead and go. So he leaves, and it says, when he does this in verse 22, then God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary. So here's the son. The son shows up. Christ shows up to stop this guy. And then if we jump down to verse 25, okay? And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow way, place where there was no way to turn. Then the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. She lay down under Balaam, so Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have you done? What have I done to you that you struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, Balaam said to the donkey, well, you're a donkey, why are you talking? No, he didn't even say that. He just starts talking. I think this is a great fact. Like, the donkey says, you're going to be mocking me, dog. What are you doing? He's like, well, if you had, he doesn't say, hey, you're a donkey, why? But I think this is kind of funny that he just continues the conversation with the donkey. But he continues talking.
And he says, Balaam says to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for I now would kill you. This is what Balaam's saying. Now he's going to threaten to kill the donkey. So the donkey said to Balaam, I, not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck the donkey? So, see the same thing here. Christ is standing there, and Balaam can't see Christ. He's unable to see Christ. But the donkey can. The donkey can. And the donkey says, I really like the story. But, this is the Lord's way. Balaam's heart, alright? His heart is sick. His heart over here about this money. Okay, I'm gonna blind you. And Jesus Christ himself, or Son of God, shows up. Okay, well, I'm just gonna kill this guy. Got a sword. But the donkey sees the Christ. See, this is his way. This is his way. This is the way that the Lord does things like this. He takes the prophet of God, he takes Balaam, blinds Balaam's eyes so he can't see him, and then he opens the eyes of the donkey. This is beautiful to the Lord. This is unique. It's not the way man thinks. Man doesn't think of things like this. You can look at other religions. That's how they think. They think like, you study, and then you come to this. That's demonic. That's not how you come to believe. It's like the Lord grants you grace and then you believe. And it's Him. He's the one that does it. So whether it be a baby, or whether it be a donkey, this is just the way for the Lord to increase His own glory. One other thing here, I want to look here at Luke 21. He's also saying, actually, we're going to look a little early in Luke 10. He's also saying here in Luke 10 that they ought to rejoice in, actually, verse 20. They ought to rejoice because their names are in heaven. So there's a rejoicing that it is not by wisdom, not by intelligence. There's a rejoicing that it's not, that it's actually hidden. There's a rejoicing that it's revealed to babes. And there's a rejoicing that you're actually saved in the first place. It's like, you should be looking at this, when you begin to realize, look, when you begin to understand this, the way the Lord operates, it ought to evoke worship from you. Because you come to grips with the fact that this is all by grace. This has nothing to do with you. And your response should be that I'm going to worship you because the Lord is sovereign. We see in verse 21 here, the first thing he says is, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven. These are all sovereign decisions that are made by the Lord. And you ought to respond with worship. Because he's chosen you. Because you can clearly see now, you can't attain this in your human way. There's no way you can attain this. So they come back from ministering throughout the cities, and they're excited because the demons are subject. I see Jesus saying, don't rejoice over this. Like, the demons, they are subject to me. Yeah. This is already done. What you should be rejoicing over is that your names are written in heaven. It's like you've been sharing the gospel with people, they're not hearing it. And when they don't hear it, you should come to grips with the fact that you have nothing to do with the fact that you even came to believe in the first place. Okay? That's what you should be happy about. Because you're really no different than them. It's like, there's nothing about you that makes you, morally different in such a way that you decided to choose the Lord. You ought to be rejoicing
that he chose you. This is what you should be happy about. You're not like, you know, so the Lord is rejoicing that this truth of his messiahship is revealed to babes. It's not revealed to everyone. It's hidden. And it's not by wisdom. It's not by intelligence. And you ought to rejoice that you're saved. So this is just a couple of points of application as we get ready to close. The first being, so when we're sharing the gospel, we should praise God no matter what the outcome. Okay? I could share that, right? It's like, in the Lord's mind, there's not this, I'm only thankful when some are saved. Okay? That's not a way he's partitioning his mind. I'm rejoicing when this person's saved. I'm praising God that this person's come to believe. I'm thanking God. But I'm thanking God over here when some are blinded. I'm thanking God over here when the Lord is displaying, he's going to display the foolishness of the wisest folly. He's bringing this to fruition. And I'm going to worship God for that as well. I'm going to worship God that over here, that, you know, that 1 Corinthians 1, that over here it's like foolishness. This is foolishness to me. The gospel's silly. It's stupid. I think it's foolish. I'm gonna honor the Lord for that response, because he's active in all of it. Is what I'm saying. He's active in all of it. I can honor the Lord when I'm sharing the gospel, no matter what the outcome is, because it's his purposes that are being fulfilled when I'm sharing the gospel. It's his purposes. It's his purpose that the wise is blinded. It's his purpose that it's revealed in the child. It's his purpose that by grace he saved me. It's his purpose that he's hidden this, that he's revealed. It's him. And I can rejoice in this. I can glorify him in both ends. Here's another, maybe, application. If I'm thinking like this now, I'm not going to be judging when I'm evangelizing. I'm not going to be thinking anything about my opinion about someone's capacity when I'm sharing the gospel. I'm just going to be clearly delivering it. Look, I got babies that are coming. You know, I got little kids here that are saying, "Hey, that's the Messiah." That's, you know, they're acknowledging. Start early. I don't have to, in my head, be thinking, well, this person is this. This person can understand, person can't understand. I can just share, and I can know that the Lord can figure that stuff out. I can, based on this, I can rejoice in election. I can praise God for election. I really love the ways that, you know, I can, we just talked about the Romans 9 passage. For I will have mercy upon whom I have mercy. It's like, at the end of the day, when you get to these election paths, at the end, you just get God. You don't get like an explanation, because it's not based on something that this person did, but you're struck with the fact that it's about who he is. It's about his mind and his ways. So election, and I can rejoice in this sort of election. And I can, lastly, I can cherish the Word of God. It's like the last part of this passage, verse 24, where he sort of comes over here to the disciples, and he says to them, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it." I can look at this, and I can realize that I need to really cherish the Word of God and not take it for granted. I get an opportunity to hear about the Word of God, and not only hear it, like actually hear it spoken, but be given clear exposition to be able to understand it. And I should cherish that, because that's the That's unique. That's not something that everybody has. He's allowed me to understand it. And I ought to cherish when I'm hearing the words of God, and I hear it clearly, I ought to really cherish being able to hear the truth of the Lord because it's being revealed. This is a great passage because it shows you a lot about the way the Lord worships. So might our worship be more inclusive of all of who God is and all of who He represents? Might we embrace the mind of the Lord wherever it takes us, whatever doctrine is revealed to us? When we are hearing Him, we're hearing the Lord of glory. Now, one other interesting thing about this passage is you see clearly, you see the Son participating. The reason I say we can glory in election, you see the Son participating in election. All that the Father has given to me. It's like He's gotten everything. And this phrase here, and I'm revealing it to whoever I will. Okay? You see participation of the Son in election. And it's the Lord's way. It's glorious. It's beautiful. It's election, and it is the way that the Lord thinks about things. I find myself humbled at this sort of thing because there's no reason why the Lord uses any of us. There's no reason why He called any of us, and He just chose to call us. And He's given His Son to us, and He's given us an opportunity to understand who He is. And I'm glad that He uses this way, where He exalts Himself. He exalts His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He exalts His own person. Where is the philosopher of this age? Where's the scribe? Who's the one that can stand up and say, I've arrived at this. I figured this out. You know, it's not His way. I'm just glad that He doesn't operate like that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You for getting Him to us. We thank You for providing us with an understanding. And Lord, we ask that You would shift our worship, that it wouldn't only be focused on things about You that we that we would just embrace everything about You, and that we would look at the way You worship, that our worship would be similar, that we would respond the same way that You responded. When You heard the report of the 70, You responded in a way that demonstrated Your alignment and Your clarity of Your thought around what's good and what's right. And we just thank You so much for giving us the mind of Christ, and we ask that You teach us how to obey it and understand it, and that we might rejoice where You rejoice, and that we might shed tears where You shed tears, Lord, that we would have an emotional, intellectual, and spiritual responses to experiences and to our brethren that are similar to Yours because we think like You. In the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen.